Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and we are now going to speak with the writer that writes the mostest at Ammoland.com. He is Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
So, they've now decided that there are certain felons who, I guess this is once they have paid their debt to society now, they don't necessarily lose all their rights because of their felon conviction. Is that right?
That's correct. Now, this wasn't, it's a very recent policy that all felons have their Second Amendment, the rights protected by the Second Amendment, taken away from them for life all the time. In every state. That wasn't the way it was for most of our nation's history. That was a fairly recent thing that was put in with the Gun Control Act of 1968. And then, you know, there was some hints about it beforehand, but really came into effect in 68. And they actually put in a whole bunch of prohibited persons. And in my opinion, this was part of the strategy to gut the Second Amendment and gut the right to keep and bear arms. If you just keep increasing the categories that are not allowed to have arms, the number of different types of prohibited persons, well, eventually get it to it that most people can't have arms anyway.
Right.
And it was a big jump in that direction when they put in misdemeanors for domestic violence with the Lautenberg decision. I think that was in 94, 96. Anyway, so and it looked like they were just going to keep on expanding this. You know, this misdemeanor, and eventually the fear was that they would say anybody who got a traffic ticket doesn't have any Second Amendment rights. So. In this case, it's Range v. Lombardo, and it's in the Third Circuit, which, as I recall, is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, but I might be off. I think it's only three states, but it's a circuit. They said that if you look at this case, they don't believe the historical record supports taking away this guy's Second Amendment rights for what was, at the time that he was convicted, a misdemeanor, but potentially he could have gone to jail for 5 years. Now, in fact, he was only sentenced to a fine, I think around a couple thousand dollars, and then he also had some restitution, and he had some community service that he had to do. And he did all that stuff right away. And he said that he takes responsibility for his actions, but he doesn't remember making a decision to be fraudulent on the form he signed. You know, he thinks he and his wife filled it out, and maybe she put that in, and that he just signed it. But the point was that it's not the kind of thing that people would take away your Second Amendment rights for when the Second Amendment was passed in 1791. He's not a violent felon. He didn't do anything violent. There weren't any weapons involved. All he did was fraudulently put down a lower income than he had on a welfare application. So this is the kind of test case that you want for the Second Amendment. You have a very sympathetic plaintiff here who's saying, yes, I did wrong. I admit it. But it's a minor thing, and I don't think I should lose my Second Amendment rights over it. And we had 9 of the 15 judges in the circuit. Let me give a little bit of history. This originally went to a district court, and they said, well, you're a felon, and in Heller they talk about felons can be prohibited from having firearms, and you're clearly a felon under the definition in the federal law. Therefore, you're prohibited, end of story. So he appealed it to the Third Circuit to a 3-judge panel. And the 3-judge panel said the same thing. You know, you're a felon, felons are prohibited, end of story. Well, then they asked it to go to the en banc court. And this seems to be becoming the standard for Second Amendment cases.
You know, I was going to ask, let me ask this. Why do you think they do? Is it just a matter of you have to go through this 3 panel before you can actually get it before the entire court? Because
ordinarily the three judge panel is ordinarily what decides this. I mean, that's the normal case in all of the circuit courts that I know of. It initially goes to a 3-judge panel. And usually, the vast majority of the time, the decision of the 3-judge panel is where it stops.
Right.
But in Second Amendment cases, because they're so ideological, the people, the progressives, hate the Second Amendment with a passion. They absolutely detest it, in my opinion, because it limits government power.
Right.
And so in the Ninth Circuit in California, every time a decision would come out that was favorable to the Second Amendment, the Ninth Circuit would say, well, that's just a 3-judge panel. We're going to see it en banc. And en banc courts usually will take cases in a couple of circumstances. One, if the case is really important, that it affects the nation in serious ways, that they don't want just the 3-judge panel to make the decision, okay? They want everybody to be involved. And certainly, you can say Second Amendment cases fit that. And another is when they think the 3-judge panel decided differently than they would all have decided. And I think that's clearly the case that happened here in the Third Circuit. And so they heard it en banc, and in the Third Circuit, that's all the judges in the circuit hear it. In the Ninth Circuit, I think it's usually a panel of, what was the number, 15, 21, 22 judges? The Ninth Circuit is so enormous, so right, huge, that they don't have all the judges. They pick a lower number, and I think it's around 22, 21, I'm trying to remember, but it's a significantly large number.
Well, the Ninth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit has more, they've got more.
Yeah, there's more judges than anybody else.
More conservatives now, thanks to Trump, right? That's also a thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And this panel, I didn't have it in my article, but I read another article about it that said that the people in this en banc panel that agreed, and there were 9 of them that agreed that this felony conviction was not sufficient to take away his Second Amendment rights, were mixed. They were appointed, some were appointed by Trump, some were appointed by Bush, some were appointed by...
Well, hang on there. Obama. Hang on there just a second there, young man. We're going to pick this up on the other side. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This article is at amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about this case where they've decided that there are felons that don't lose their rights once they paid their debt to society. So back to this this story that you were telling me. How was
right? And this guy, Brian Range, was the plaintiff in this case where he's suing to get his Second Amendment rights back. And he's very, he's very law abiding. He had misstated his income on his application for welfare when he had a rough spot. you know, back 20 years ago. And he says his wife filled it out, and he signed it. Says he accepts responsibility for it. And that made him under federal law because of a state law that said that he could be punished for up to 5 years in prison for that offense, although it was a much minor offense, and they just gave him a fine and some community service, that made him a felon under federal law, and therefore he could not own or use firearms. And he wanted to own or use firearms, and so he sued, and the court went from the district court to the three-judge panel, and then it went to this en banc, which is all the judges on the Third Circuit. There were 15 of them, and 9 of them said, no, that's wrong. You can't just take away someone's fundamental constitutional rights on a very minor case that may technically be a felony, but it's nothing that people would have lost their Second Amendment rights for when the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791. And this is important because another stratagem on the left side of the spectrum is to just make more and more people felons. I mean,
prohibiting
people. Right,
yeah, yeah.
For that too. And if you just make everything a felony, and then everybody is guilty of something and nobody has any rights. And so if you follow the logic that if you just call something a felony, then you lose your rights, well, then all a state government has to do, or even the federal government to some extent, is just make everything a felony. And or we've seen misdemeanors in the Lautenberg Amendment for misdemeanor domestic violence. And then, well, you get very few people who are able to exercise their Second Amendment rights eventually because the laws are so extensive and complex and hard to understand today. And there's thousands and thousands of pages of white-collar crime laws that are called felonies. People have written books. There's a very famous one that says 3 felonies a day. And in the book, the author, who's an attorney, says there's so many crimes created that an ordinary professional is going to commit 3 felonies a day, whether he wants to or not, because of the complexity and vagueness of the laws. He simply is unable to live and go about his daily job without committing felonies. And so that means that our rights are subject to the legislature or the Congress just deciding willy-nilly what a felony is. They can, they don't like people who have guns. They just say, well, you pick up a feather out in the woods, that's a felony. You do this, you fill in a low spot in your driveway, that's a felony. You see where I'm going. It abrogates the whole idea of rights guaranteed in the Constitution. So I think this was a really good decision because it says, no, fundamental rights are not subject to legislative whim. Now, what is the case? What will it come down to? What is the test that will be applied to decide whether a felony is sufficient to take away someone's Second Amendment rights? One approach that I could see is you could look back at what were the felonies back in 1791. There were a much smaller list of felonies back then. Rape, robbery, murder. There might have been some others that, I'm not sure if, maybe sodomy was a felony back then. I don't know. But you could look at that and say, okay, in order for a felony to be sufficient to take away Second Amendment rights, here's the criteria. It has to involve force. It has to be something that threatens life or maybe financial crime beyond a certain amount or something, there are ways you could set up the test. I don't think anybody has done that yet. And maybe you just say, that's not a good thing. That's not in the historical record, taking away a felon's rights. If they're out of jail, they have rights. I mean, we do take away felons' rights to vote, but voting is kind of a late term right. Only very limited people had the right to vote, or the ability to vote, had the franchise when the Constitution was ratified. They've been added on later. So we don't say that a felon has no right to speak in public or to debate. We don't say a felon can be searched anytime on the streets without probable cause or his home ransacked anytime, although those conditions are sometimes imposed as part of probation. So the test has not been decided yet, but I think this is a common sense restoration of Second Amendment rights that has been a long time coming. And it's interesting to me that we have so many different political stripes coming together on this decision. You have 9 of 15. That is a very significant majority. It's not two-thirds, but it's very close. And the fact that you have people from different political spectrums who are appointed by both Democrat and Republican presidents says that this has a wide appeal. People feel that it's just. And to me, it also shows the importance of picking sympathetic plaintiffs for your test case. In this guy's case, the man is an upstanding, law-abiding citizen.
Right.
And he thought he had his Second Amendment rights right along. And they tried to buy a firearm, and then all of a sudden they say, no, you're prohibited. What?
Hang on there for me, if you will, Dean. Hang on. We're coming up on the break. This article is the latest article published at amaland.com, coming from Dean. The title of the article is Federal Judges Agree Not All Felons Lose Second Amendment Rights. I got a couple of questions about for that when we get back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. The Department of Justice is formally announcing charges against former President Trump.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with felony violations of our national security laws, as well as participating in a conspiracy to obstruct justice.
The DOJ said the former president stored classified information, including U.S. nuclear programs and defense and weapons capabilities. Alerts remain in effect in several states, but air quality levels are improving in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic. Smoke from the Canadian wildfires drifted down through the U.S. and impacted millions of Americans. Netflix is seeing a big bump in subscriptions since implementing new password sharing rules. The television analytics company Antenna reported today the streaming giants saw its best four-day period of new sign-ups in the U.S. in the days following the announcement. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load talking to Dean Weingarten, and we were just talking about this article where they've decided that not all felons lose their Second Amendment rights. Will this mean that everything that is out there right now, well, everybody that is in it, how do they determine what level is a felon that doesn't lose their rights, and who's that going to apply to, and is it all going to be retroactive, all this other stuff? Do we know? Has anybody talked about that?
Yeah, people talk about it. In the dissent, one of the dissenting judges, and there were, I think, six judges who dissented out of 15, talked about it and said, hey, well, what's the standard? This doesn't really give us a good, hard, and fast standard. We had a standard. If it was a felony, if you could go to jail for more than a year, you were a felon, period. He says, now we don't have a standard. So what is it? Well, nobody knows because they don't give a real clear standard here. They just say, in this case, his offense was not enough. But, you know, we have courts, we have judges, and that'll get worked out. Eventually, it will probably get to the Supreme Court. And given that Judge Amy Coney Barrett had a dissenting opinion, very similar to this one, by this majority opinion in the in-bank court in the Third Circuit, her opinion issued earlier where she was in dissent was very similar to this. And the argument that she put forward was, it depends on how dangerous the person is to society. It's danger to society, violence, that is the deciding factor. And if somebody has shown that they are a violent person and can't be trusted with weapons because they are violent, and that's what their offense was, a violent offense, that's what we should decide on. That seems the most likely candidate. Now, the question is retroactivity. Good question, because I don't think anybody knows how that'll work either. What the standard for the Supreme Court is that if the law was found to be unconstitutional, it was always unconstitutional. But I haven't seen that being followed much lately. I could see a lot of people saying, hey, I was convicted of tax evasion or I was convicted of shoplifting or whatever. And I could see a fair number of these Lautenberg offenses being challenged as well. So that would bring up a whole raft of new cases, and it might have to get to the Supreme Court again for them to give a more rigid or easily interpreted standard. But people who are Second Amendment supporters have been saying for years, that's crazy. You know, once the Second Amendment right should apply anytime you're outside of prison. Well, I think we can make we can say if you're out on probation and there are certain criteria that you have to follow to stay out of jail, and if you violate them, if as a standard of probation they say you can't have guns, that falls into it's still part of your punishment. So there's a lot of permutations that can go with this, and it is not clear. I think it is a very good decision. The logic is excellent, and they talk about following Bruin and how Bruin applies. Now, the dissent, I read the dissent. It's 70 pages. Out of 107 pages in this decision, over about 70 pages is the dissent. So they wrote a lot. But when you distill it down, it seems to me they are saying essentially two or three things. One is, hey, this takes away a bunch of government power, and we don't like it. Government has to have that power. Well, that's not allowed under our structure of government. And the other thing they say is, well, look at the Commerce Clause. On the Commerce Clause, we can regulate anything. Why look at all these Commerce Clause decisions that say that everything is commerce, therefore we can regulate it. So that overrides the Bill of Rights. I don't think so. I don't think the Commerce Clause overrides the Bill of Rights. For one thing, the Commerce Clause was written before the Bill of Rights was passed, so the Bill of Rights coming afterwards would have precedent over the Commerce Clause because it was added afterwards. So it applies to the Commerce Clause, not the other way around. And I think the Commerce Clause, which says that the federal government has the power to regulate commerce between the various states and Indian tribes and foreign nations, it's been stretched way out of recognition of what the founders intended. And we have now, for the first time in about 70 years, an originalist court. That is a court that looks at the Constitution and says what was meant when they wrote it and what does the actual text mean. Now, that's the way you would normally interpret a contract in a court. And the Constitution is essentially a contract between we, the people, federal government, and the states, a state government. And to say, well, things are different now, you know, that was then, this is now, is like saying, well, you know, I signed this mortgage contract and it said that I have to pay so much every month at 4%, and now I go to the bank and the bank says, oh, sorry, we've raised that up to 6%, and you know, we've reduced the term from 30 years to 25. And there's penalties if you don't go with us, if you leave us, you have to pay a bunch of penalties that weren't in there before. I mean, that's how silly this idea is, that the Constitution is malleable by court decision. It shouldn't be. That's the whole idea of courts, is that they're impartial and they follow the law, not their whim. But the one of the essential characteristics of progressive ideology is, no. That was then, this is now. Things are different now. We have to have court decisions that are different because we don't want to go through the amendment process because we would lose. that's the way I see it. And you just have this, that's the arguments that come through from the dissenters in this case. They claim we shouldn't be reducing government power. Government has to have this power, which is essentially a ways means test forbidden under Bruin. And they say the Commerce Clause overrides the Bill of Rights. They don't directly say that. They say, but we got this commerce power, and therefore we can do this. And that's, I think, forbidden under any rational structure of the Constitution,
right,
because the whole Constitution falls apart if you say, well, Commerce Clause gives the government the power to do anything. Well, nonsense. That makes no sense at all. And then they, you know, go through a usual litany. Oh, there's so much gun violence. We have to have a solution. We've got to regulate guns. Well, that's Orwellian doublespeak, because gun violence is a made-up term that wraps together suicides and accidents and homicides all together, all have different causes, all have different solutions, and the only thing they have in common is that some of them in each case are committed with guns. So it's been created as a terminology to make the argument about regulating guns. It's a very clever Orwellian way to create an argument that is tails you lose, heads I win. Because the only solution that's allowed when you talk about gun violence is a solution that regulates guns or
well,
gets rid of guns.
Hang on for me if you will. Talking to Dean Weingarten, we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no-obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten as we do, and let's move over, and we're going to talk about something coming out of Hawaii. Hawaii is always very contrary, aren't they? I mean, they're almost like an island.
They're one of the most restrictive states for owning or possessing or carrying any kind of weapon. In the United States, they're extremely restrictive. And that's one of the reasons we get these cases there. Now, what happened with this case is that a couple of Second Amendment activists who are lawyers in Hawaii were checking out their law on weapons, and they noticed, well, I am presuming this is what happened because it follows from what happened in the court. And they saw that any kind of billy club was just banned. That's like a police baton or a short club that you could carry in your pocket or, that any kind of short club. They're just all banned, period. Banned. Not allowed to have them, not allowed to carry them. Wait a minute. Not allowed to carry them outside the home, I should say. And let's see. You just can't carry them. So what they said is that's not possible under Caetano and the Bruin decision together. Now, Caetano, when it came out in 2016, a lot of people said, that's just not really very important. Now, I dissented from that. I wrote a couple of articles back then that said this is a very important decision, and it was a unanimous decision. There were no dissenters on the Supreme Court when it came out. Caetano dealt with a woman in Massachusetts, which is a very restrictive state, having a stun gun that she used for self-defense because she was victimized by a domestic predator or abuser. And she went and noticed how she is another sympathetic plaintiff, and it goes to the court. And Massachusetts said, well, stun guns weren't around when the Constitution was written and the Bill of Rights was ratified. There were no stun guns. They're not covered. They're not covered under the Second Amendment. And the entire Supreme Court unanimously said, yes, they are. The Second Amendment extends, and it's a prima facie to all instruments that constitute bearable arms, even those that were not in existence at the time of the founding. I know that's a very straightforward statement, and it's very powerful. And the entire Supreme Court at the time unanimously agreed with that.
Right.
That's a powerful, powerful statement. And in a concurrence, I think it was Justice Alito who said, well, they are in common use. Because we believe there's 200,000 of these in possession across the United States. Now, the beauty of that is 200,000 is not an extremely large number. There are undoubtedly millions of short clubs around the United States.
Right.
When you consider just about anything qualifies that's hard and over 6 inches long, you know. And so these two lawyers, Todd Yutake and Justin Solomon, I may have butchered their names, brought this lawsuit and said, you just banned these outside the home. You can't do that. These are a bearable weapon. They've been around forever. They're extremely common. You can't ban them outside the home. And the government in Hawaii just folded. They just said, the judge says, yeah, those are in common use. And so they settled. They folded. And they said, yeah, okay, we're not going to enforce that part of the law. And then what happened was that they negotiated, and basically the attorney general in Hawaii has to pay, well, it's using taxpayer money, but they have to pay the attorney's fees and costs $50,000. That has to be approved by the state government, but it almost certainly will be because they don't want it to go higher. And if they disapprove it, it's going to go back to court, and it's going to go higher because there will be more lawyer fees. And they already acknowledge that this is a very simple case, and they don't have the authority to ban short clubs. So that's a significant case, even though it is not considered a precedential case. It's there, and everybody can read it. They can see that the state folded, and anybody who reads this realizes, yeah, I can carry a short club around in Hawaii. Now, what's possible, what might happen is that Hawaiian will say, okay, we'll just issue permits for short clubs, and you have to get a permit, and it'll cost you... You have to go through 48 hours of training in the use of short clubs, and then you have to, you have to demonstrate you can use that short club in a test that, might take half a day, and you have to take that test in Honolulu, on a Wednesday between 1 and 3 p.m. You know, they could do that kind of crap. Excuse my language.
Right.
They could do that. They could make up all these things, and what they're doing now is they have passed a law recently, and it may just apply to firearms, but it might apply to all weapons. I haven't read enough in detail, where they say, oh, well, basically all of the islands are sensitive locations, and you can't carry weapons in those sensitive locations. We'll let you carry on the sidewalk, but you have to get permission from any property owner in advance before you can go onto their property with it. And you can't go into any government buildings, can't go into any parks, can't go into the beach, can't go into a hotel, all those other things, and just make it impossible for somebody to actually carry a weapon around to defend themselves as they go about their daily lives. And that is being challenged. It's one of many challenges to this plethora of sensitive weapon laws that are being passed by these states that are defying the Supreme Court and the Bruin decision. They're just saying, well, you can't make us do it. We'll just find another way to do what we want to do. And it's one of the greatest challenges to the Supreme Court. Probably it's kind of close to the equal protection, having separate but equal schools in the South in the 1940s. Or you could even make a case that it's similar to the Southern states making poll tax laws and literacy requirements for voting and that type of thing about 1900 on. where there were just a relatively small number of states that just said, we are not going to observe the rights of people that the Supreme Court says they have. We won't follow the law. Now, usually the courts are not willing to allow that to go on. And since you had a 6-3 decision in Bruin, that's 2/3 of the 9 justices on the Supreme Court, you would think that they would slap down these states that are trying to restrict, you know, preserve their government power and not observe fundamental constitutional rights, that you would, they might slap them down. But it's taking some time. Some justices on the Supreme Court basically told New Jersey, I think it was Alito and Thomas, said, you know, move along here. We want to get this taken care of. We don't want it to be months and years while people don't have their rights respected. And what I see in many of the courts, it seems like that is a strategy of to just delay.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've run out of time, Dean. We have run out of time with the delay, but we'll have to pick that up on the other side. This is at amaland.com. I do appreciate you joining me today.
It is always a pleasure.
Back again on Monday. Between now and then, remember this, it's never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.